Well, press review time now on the programme after the news that six more Israeli hostages have been executed by Hamas, leading to mass protests, as we saw in the news. A few pieces in the Israeli press can help provide some of the context, really, to the massive backlash that the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, is now on the receiving end at home. And Antonia is here to take us through it. Antonia.
Good morning. So let's start by looking at a couple of pieces in the newspaper Haaretz. You've got some extremely damning pieces about the Prime Minister Netanyahu. This headline, Israeli hostages die so Netanyahu can keep his coalition alive. Of course, the headline, searing, and it's about the fact that Benjamin Netanyahu is plagued by fears of looking soft and being abandoned by far-right coalition partners. The illustration, I added clauses, hostages died, sorry, is what's on this poster, and it's written as if in a child's handwriting saying sorry about the deaths of those hostages. This article also goes into what happened at a cabinet meeting on Thursday, in which it was decided to keep troops in the Philadelphia corridor. Yoav Gallant opposed Prime Minister Netanyahu, and his response, according to leaked transcript, was, this is the decision. That's what the article explains, and the suggestion of a veering towards slight autocracy or ignoring of opposing voices in Netanyahu's war cabinet. In this article, Biden, it's time to tell the painful truth about the Israeli hostages. This is talking about the way Benjamin Netanyahu represents himself very differently to his Western allies from how he does at home. It's talking about the Antony Blinken's visit 2 weeks ago in Israel, at the end of which he said there had been his discussions with Netanyahu had yielded something, that he had accepted a bridging proposal for a ceasefire and hostage release deal, only to see that since Netanyahu has added conditions, including the condition that the Israeli army will never leave the Philadelphia corridor, and as such, making what Blinken said null and void. And so what this article says is it's one message in English and quite the opposite in Hebrew. So it's another searing criticism of the Prime Minister.
Another of our main stories now, Germany, a long read in Der Spiegel, profiling an AfD stronghold in Saxony. Give us an idea then, Antonia, of the picture that it paints, can you?
It's a very vivid picture, it's fair to say. This town is called Glashütte. It's a remote town in Saxony known for watchmaking historically. It's got a population of just 7,000. And what we see in the article, both in the writing and in pictures, is a lot of abandonment. It's a place at times forgotten. This is the cinema where there hasn't been a film screening in 19 years. This is the supermarket that's also been closed for several years. There are empty homes all over this town. There hasn't been a secondary school there since 2005 because the population is just dwindling. This is also very vivid, is this abandoned public swimming pool. And of course, the article says where there is a swimming pool, there is youth, but there is no youth here. And so you can see that this is not exactly the cliche of what we think of when we think about the far right. It's not somewhere where there's been massive inrushes of immigration. The population is more specifically depleting, but the people there are not reaping the benefits of modernity. As you can see, everything seems to be falling away and decaying. So there's a little quite interesting as a counterpoint to our clichés about who votes far right and why.
Now, it's the rentrée here in France, as it's known, not just for us, but also for school children. 12 million children against the backdrop of political upheaval. What are the papers saying about that?
Well, lots of things, most of them negative. Of course, we're in a situation of political chaos, but though some would argue that the political chaos started long before the dissolution of Parliament. Les Echos has this article entitled Teachers Looking for Serenity After Frenetic Reforms. The article points out that there have been four education ministers in the last year alone, and they've all had their agendas. Teachers agree that there is a need for reform in the education system. What teachers have called for repeatedly is better working conditions and improving the image of their job, allowing their job to be attractive and appealing for people to become teachers, because the big problem French schools have is a lack of teachers. That's not the reform they've had. Libération gives us a bit of a rundown of what the reforms are happening this week, the things that are coming into place for the first time. It's more testing for children aged 8 and 10, which is extremely controversial and the subject of a call for strike on the 10th of September. primary and middle schools banning mobile phone use in schools, and also separating groups by ability. That's a very controversial measure. It's widely adopted in many countries, but it hasn't been common practice in France until now. Worth looking at this article in France Info, where they've interviewed students and teachers alike about how they feel about this reform coming into place. Research suggests that this is a move that will advantage children who are already excelling and disadvantage and stigmatise those who are struggling. So teachers fear working with those children who are struggling more and fear those children will be demoralised. In the meantime, I think it's going to really increase educational inequality. So we'll have to wait and see what that yields in the next years to come, where we'll see the results of that reform.
Now, finally, some good news. Geothermal energy may be as yet underused and undervalued weapon in the battle against global warming. This is the story of a Japanese town. Tell us about it.
Yes, so this is a very picturesque Japanese spa town, and the spa industry in Japan is extremely lucrative, extremely luxurious tourism business. On the other side of the coin, Japan imports a huge amount of fossil fuels for its electricity needs. In this town, they saw, just 50 kilometres away, the effects of Fukushima. They mobilised the owners of hotels, restaurants and inns. In this town, they funded their own energy company, built this geothermal energy plant. Japan sits on the third biggest geothermal reservoir in the world, so it's a huge weapon against global warming. And small plants like this across Japan could account for 10% of the country's electricity needs. So possibly a really positive message coming out of that town.
Fingers crossed. That's good to have a positive story on the programme, of course, as ever. Antonia, thanks very much. More news in just a few moments' time. Do stay with us if you can.